What up, what up? Welcome back to the Outkick Bets podcast. This is Jeff Clark, the host. I get the homie Dan Z here to help me break down this week's Arnold Palmer Invitational, one of my favorite events on the PGA Tour calendar. It's the fourth signature event of the 2024 season.
Is it?
Hopefully it'll be a profitable one for me.
The fourth?
Yeah.
We're the first two.
Century,
I mean, I remember the one a couple weeks ago.
Century, Pebble Beach, Genesis, and now this one.
Oh, man.
Golf time flies, huh?
Flying by.
I know. The Players is next week. This is the second event of the Florida Swing. So it's really heating up.
Let's talk about last week because I'm upset. And you know I'm upset.
Yeah, the Cognizant Classic didn't go well for me either, dude.
This pod is such a mush on you and your golf betting. So I feel like when you don't do a podcast, you do fine. And then we do one pod. And I honestly think last week was the worst week I've ever seen you have. Like, I saw you post your, like, wrap-up, and I was like, oh, my God. You went, like, 1-for-10 on top 20s.
Yeah, probably. I think I had 6.
Which is, like,
I was 1-for-5. Dude, Sam Ryder, speaking of unheard of, Sam Ryder bogeyed the par 5 18 two days in a row and finished T21. What do you got to complain about? Because I sunk, 4.68 units last week. Keith Mitchell bailed me out with the top 20 and tickled my balls with a nice little round 4 finish. And I was like, can he get to 17? Can he? And he didn't. He ended up getting a minus 12.
He had a late bogey, I think, that basically derailed his round. Yeah, well, I'm annoyed about the tournament in general, first of all. What the hell is the PGA Tour doing? Why did they... They knew that storm was coming. Why did they do a twosome format and then have it get interrupted for like 3 hours? Like, I actually, you know who should be pissed? Is Eric Van Rooy, right? Because, like, I think that absolutely ruined his chance. Like, he was having that Matsuyama round when Hideki came back and won a couple weeks ago by shooting a course record in the final round to come back from and be that guy who came out of nowhere to win in the final. Like, Van Rooy was going to be that guy. And then he had to go sit for 3.5 hours and came back and was like, yeah, I didn't. And he was actually, I'll give him credit because I was wrong about that because I came on this podcast and said you should fade Eric Van Rooyen. And quite honestly, you should have won the tournament. Whoops, missed that one. But I'd be pissed if I were him. Like, why did we do this? Why did we play when you guys knew this weather was coming? Also, I think if they had done split T threesomes, they probably could have gotten the tournament in Sunday.
Yeah.
And it screwed Shane Lowry, which is what I'm most mad about. Because after the podcast, I didn't talk about Lowry on the podcast, but I went, did a little additional research, was looking for some plays to make. I had a $33 bonus bet, I think, thanks to you, with a great tip on which Threesday promo to use on DraftKings. Decided to lay it on Shane Lowry at plus 4,500 to win a cool 1,500. Cash a comma. Was looking so good. And I just feel like he was never the same after the delay. It pushed his start back like 3 hours. He couldn't get anything. He only got it must be weird going into like a final round, but knowing you're only going to play like 4 holes.
For sure. Yeah, I think he was minus 150 entering the final round.
He was. And I'm mad at myself because I thought about hedging a little bit and putting some money on Ekerot, but his odds were just a little too short. I think he was plus 400. I was like, Zekro, really? 4-1 to win this tournament right now? Well, apparently, yes. That was too low, in fact.
Yeah. I actually bet Austin Ekerot in this tournament to beat Taylor Montgomery, which obviously he did by winning the tournament. However...
But you're probably still mad that you didn't put like an outright on him.
A little bit. It was partially like liking what Austin Ekerot brought to the table, but majorly... fading Taylor Montgomery. Oh, okay.
So it was more of a Montgomery fade.
Yeah, he's just kind of erratic off the tee and with his ball striking. And the PGA National is not a good course to be erratic with your ball striking. Phenomenal putter, but
So I think the PGA screwed me because Lowry, and then they kept talking about too that Lowry, and I didn't know this, like he never, when he's on the road for these tournaments and stuff, doesn't stay in hotel rooms by himself. He like doesn't like to be alone. He literally like will room with his buddies or his caddies or get a house. Like that's his thing. And I thought this was so interesting, but they were like, they thought Lowry really struggled after the crowds were gone. Like there was no
Oh,
one there
okay.
watching. And it was like, he's the type of guy that feeds off the energy of like the
Yeah.
crowd and of the turn of like, and just playing on a Monday morning with no one around was just not his thing. It might have helped Ekrot.
I thought you were gonna say like his roommates finished their round Sunday, so they just bounced.
Oh, and they went, well, they might have. That might also have been true. I don't know.
And he was in the Airbnb himself Sunday night, just all miserable.
Except I think he probably was at home, right? Doesn't he live near there?
It
I
was
think he
like
lives.
10 minutes from there.
Yeah, he was probably at home for that one. No, it was, they were talking about how like he does really well in like Ryder Cups and just like that. Again, the crowd energy, like that's his thing. He loves it, and that he might have been affected, and it probably helped Ekrot, you know, guy trying to win his first tournament, and there's no one around, like not a lot of pressure. Kind of just got to play almost by himself. The guy he was playing with was playing terrible, so he wasn't like worried about what he was doing, and he also got paired with David Skins, which David Skins is a very slow player, and Shane Lowry is not a slow player. And they told a funny story on the broadcast. They've been adding Luke Donald to the golf broadcast. And I like Luke Donald. I think he was interesting, but he talked about as the Ryder Cup captain, he paired Sepp Straka and Shane Lowry together, but then had to have a talk with them because Sepp Straka is a very slow player and Lowry's not. And Lowry was like, homie, we can't
Speed
beat.
this shit up, dog.
Yeah, I'm not going to be like just walking around this course all day. Like,
The
you need to get it figured out.
country club's got a sick happy hour, and I plan on being there.
I'll meet you in the middle. Like, you don't have to come up to my pace. I'll come down a little bit, but I ain't coming down to where you are all the time. Like, that ain't going to work for me, bud. And Donald literally said he had to like mediate with these guys and be like, yeah, we got to figure out how to get you guys to play at the same pace, which was a funny story.
Sucks that the same you got you took a loss in that Shane Lowry bet because I know a lot of people had him, but it looked like a good one entering Sunday and then Monday. So
Could have
sucks,
been.
buddy.
Oh well. Moving on. Here we go.
Yeah, Arnold Palmer, Bay Hill Club and Lodge, big boy course, 7,400 yards, par 72. Tigers won here 8 times. It's pretty iconic. Very fast, very firm. Gusty winds because it's Florida, just your typical Florida swing course. I have a
Except,
card.
but see, that happened last week too. Like that was another reason why I liked Lowry because he typically plays better when the courses are harder and windier. He's one of those European guys. Those guys are much better generally than the Americans because they grew up playing in Ireland and Scotland where it just rains and is cold and is windy all the time. But the wind died down, which actually helped Ekrot and hurt Lowry. So the question is, have you looked at the weather for this week? And because like out of nowhere, there was no wind all of a sudden at PGA National last
Yeah,
week.
it's supposed to be
So
clean.
is that gonna happen again? Because that'll change the way I look at this card.
So, recording Tuesday, no one knows officially, but the weather forecast is clear Thursday and Friday and very windy Saturday and Sunday.
Interesting.
But I don't know. I think you're going to hate my card, dude. Actually,
How
you're
would
going
I
to
do?
like a couple of them, and you're going to hate two of them. One of
Oh, can I
them is a
wait? Can I
mutual
guess?
hate from a guy who has, quite frankly, fucked us for the last year.
Give me a range of like odds and like where he falls, and I'll try to guess who you're talking about.
I'll go 50 to 65 to 1 is the range.
Okay. Ooh. I see some good names in here. Consistently
Four
Augusta
of
West.
my five bets are just elite ball strikers,
Is it
powerhouses off
Adam
the tee.
Scott?
No.
Oh,
No. No.
I do feel like we've had him a bunch of
Well, I
times.
place a lot more finishing placement bets than you do. And like Adam Scott's
Right.
pretty reliable in that kind of shit.
That's true. You're right. All right, who is it?
Wyndham.
Oh, God. I almost, yeah.
Wyndham.
He's so frustrating.
Yeah. Because whenever we don't bet him, he looks amazing. And then when we do bet him, he looks amazing for half the time, and then we'll pull the ejection cord the other half. We'll talk about him in a minute. One of the guys, our guys, the shortest shot here I have on my betting card. I wasn't. I was going to go.
Yes, I knew it.
I was going to go Victor Hovland, but if Victor Hovland's form isn't there.
Yeah, no, he's going through something right now.
I think I've heard rumors about an injury, a wrist injury.
Yeah, it seems like something's a bit off with him.
I really,
as soon as these guys start doing commercials, they start sucking. You ever notice that?
No, I'm still
okay. That might just be some confirmation bias. I saw, but like he showed up in a commercial. Like over, have you noticed that though? The Victor Hovland commercial that keeps playing during these golf trips. Oh well, what the hell?
I'm sorry.
No, like no one's ever promoting Victor Hovland, right? Like he was essentially a nobody, except for those of us who like watched golf. But if you ask like just someone who occasionally, like, they probably didn't know who he was. Now he's doing commercials, or at least
Did he do one with Chipotle? Plus.
No. What's the commercial? Now I can't remember.
After he won the BMW championship, he was in the parking lot eating Chipotle, and it was like one of those. It was like kind of a commercial, but it wasn't. It was just on social
media. Who was the dude who won last year and then was like eating in an airport Chili's or something, and they were making a big deal about that? That's like a thing with golfers.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Another one of them talked about like what are you going to do for like your victory meal? And he said something. It wasn't Chipotle, but it was something like that, right? Like just like. I'm going to go to Five Guys. It's like, oh, all right.
Yeah. Love Sam Burns out here.
Is he in any commercials?
I'm not sure. I don't know if he has a personality for that.
I think you're good.
So last year, he was +7 in this tournament. Missed the cut. I bet him. And his form was complete shit last year. And I knew it, but I was like... I don't remember even the price of him. I think he was 51, but I just took a flyer. I was like, I like Sam Burns. He's one for me at the Valspar. It's Bermuda Burns. He could putt his ass off here. I'm bouncing. I'm betting him on a buy low spot. This year, his ball striking is where you want to see it. He's over the last 20 rounds, he's second in strokes gained off the tee, ninth in ball speed, fifth in approach shots from 150 to 250, which is where most of the approach shots at Bay Hill come from, and he's first in scrambling. So this is like one of the hardest courses to hit the greens in regulation. You gotta scramble, gotta get up and down and save par here. Par is a good score at a lot of holes. Sam Burns, between his power and his putting, can save par if need be, and all the par fives are reachable for two for this guy. It's a high number. 25-1 is the best price at FanDuel I found for him. I'm also hitting him top 10, but I'm going with Bermuda Burns. I am. He's one of my guys. I won with him at the Valspar, like I said, a couple years ago. And my card is just, it's loaded with my guys outside of Clark. Who's your shortest shot that you're willing to play here?
I think I'm going to play Burns too, if I'm being honest. I've been using as I mentioned, the DraftKings boost, and it would make sense to go with like a Scheffler or McIlroy here. McIlroy is absolutely on my shit list after last week. I ended up way overexposed on McIlroy, and then he tickled my balls so hard and then made one of the weirdest decisions I've ever seen a elite level professional golfer make. And you were watching, you know. First of all, hitting the ball into the water where he did. It was literally, the announcer said it was the second ball in the water all day on that hole. Like, there was water in play in almost every hole, but the water wasn't really in play there. And it really shouldn't have been in play for Rory, who was, like, in the middle of the fairway from, like, a buck 60 out. Hits it into the water and then thinks, I can get this up and down from the water.
Yeah. The ego.
From the water.
It's like LeBron James' ego.
I can get this up and down from the water, was the thought that went through his head. And of course,
give me a snorkel. I'm hitting this.
Like, of course it didn't work. He popped it straight up in the air back into the water, which meant he still had to take the drop he would have had to take anyway, except now it was an extra stroke in, double bogey, tournament over. And at that point, I think he was 11 under at that point and was making a charge to be like in one of the final groups because it was late. And that just, I couldn't believe it. I honestly couldn't freaking believe it. So I'm not going to bet Rory because he's definitely on my shit list.
He's
I'm with you on
actually,
hot.
for what it's worth, he's 10th on my bet the number model.
I don't know what that means.
It's bet the number is like a new model software that the Tour Junkies gave me
Oh,
access
he's
to.
10th.
10th.
So you're saying he's, so that's not good.
No, I
Given that
mean,
he's
given his, I
second
mean,
here.
Scheffler's one,
Right. And
obviously.
then, so let's just going through the kind of the highly rated guys here. Like, Shoffley's always a threat, but I don't know. He just doesn't win these types of events. Hovland, we talked about. I don't like that he's doing commercials. It's a Ping commercial, by the way. I actually like the commercial, though, because he makes fun of the fact that he couldn't chip. And that was like the whole thing is like, I wasn't known for my short game, but then I got Ping wedges. And I was like, hey, smart. Still, I don't like it. He's hurt and he's doing commercials. Cantlay never wins these events. Ludvig Hebert, I like his game, but like, I just. He's not an 18-to-1 guy in a full field event for me at this point. I can't possibly get on board with him at less than 20. Then you've got the Spieth, Morikawa, Cameron Young, Fleetwood, Burns tier. Cam Young played really well last week, but he never wins anything, and he once again like got close but didn't win.
I'm doing it.
What?
I got Cam Young on my card too.
Oh, come on, dude.
T10
Why?
last year, T13 this first ever Arnold Palmer. The
No.
ball striking's where I want it to be. T16 at the Genesis, T8
Dude, he
at
putted
Phoenix
his
Open.
ass off last week. That's the only reason he was in contention. He can't putt. It's going to come back this week.
Yeah, that's fair. But anyone can get hot with the putter on the PGA Tour. I think I wrote this, but his ball
That's your
striking is
analysis.
God given. The dude's power is ridiculous. Like, I outside of one of the guys who you absolutely are going to hate, the rest of my card are just hammer dicks off the tee. Like, they're crushing the ball right now, and that's what I'm going with. Going with power off the tee.
Well, your luckiest matchup is Jason Day, because I don't want to go head to head on that.
Pretty
I
sure
know you
Jason
would
Day
have.
won that one. Or won one year. Jason Day was the only guy that cashed for me in this tournament last year. I don't want any part of that action, all right?
Oh, okay.
I
Fair
don't want
enough.
any part of that. I like Jason Day here.
So, okay. All that aside, again, I keep looking at this range and it's like Cameron Young never won. Fleetwood never won. Morikawa hasn't really won anything lately.
He doesn't have the
Speed, like,
power for this one.
I think people just forget about Sam Burns and the fact that he has won like several tournaments and like good tournaments with like full fields. Yeah, I'm on Burns, and then my next one, which is kind of close to this. So you're going Burns, Cameron Young, who are both in that range. I got two in that range as well. I'm one of those guys. I'm gonna admit it, but like I can't not go back to the Will Zalatoris well here. I
Love
felt
Will.
great about him a couple weeks ago. I mean, when like I still feel like we're getting a bit of a discount here with how good he is. But there's just there's questions about his health, right? He had the back injury. He missed a ton of golf. He looked pretty damn healthy a couple weeks ago. So at 30-1, like I'd much rather have him at 30-1 than like Hebert at 18-1. That's
Oh, agreed.
And
Yeah.
actually, I'd rather have him than Spieth at like I think he should be in that Spieth Morikawa like 18-22 range. And so I think we're getting a good number here. Of course, there's a risk with a guy with an injury, but give me the guy who, by the way, is a much better putter than people realize because he looks so bad doing it, but he actually makes a lot of putts. So I think for me in that range, and those are the two guys I'm eyeing up.
Selfishly, I kind of. Well, actually, I'll suspend rooting against Zalatoris since you have him on your card. But I kind of want to see him struggle a little bit leading up to the Masters because I like him at the Masters this year. I saw enough out of him, the Genesis. Like,
Well, why not just bet it now in case he wins?
Oh, the Masters?
Yeah.
Because I can't.
Oh, you can't?
Nope.
Oh.
No, we don't have DraftKings out here in California, and
What
the
is
guy
this?
whose name I won't
Wow.
mention. Well,
What do you think his Masters odds are? Do you know?
no,
What do you think they are?
35-1.
DraftKings has him at 22.
I think it's a good number. It's
But I
tough.
think
It's tough to
it,
bet that.
but to your point though, like I don't know that it matters how well he plays this week. Like he's not going to go much higher than that.
Yeah. fair enough.
Like, regard, you know what I mean? Like, because
not
ahead
with Brooks and Rahm in the
right.
field.
Ahead of him, you've got Scheffler, McIlroy, Rahm, Hovland, Koepka, Spieth, Cantlay, Schauffele, Morikawa, Cam Smith. Those are the only players ahead of him. Who's he jumping on that list, even with a win? Like, none of them.
Cam Smith, I guess, if that's the closest name. But I like Smith at the Masters, too.
Right. Like, I don't know that any of them, like, he's ahead of Justin Thomas. He's ahead of Hebert. He's ahead of Neiman, who, by the way, that's the guy to keep an eye out for if American golf fans haven't been paying attention. That dude is absolutely just torching the LIV Tour right now. And not just the LIV Tour. He's been playing, like European Tour events and playing really well.
Yep.
He's 25-1 at the Masters, though, by the way, which is ridiculous.
Neiman
is.
Yeah. He's trending really well right now. I think he's won 2 LIV Tour
events.
Have
you ever added up, like, you know, the implied odds of a golf tournament? Like, they have to equal, like, 200%, right? Like, I feel like we really get ripped off betting outrights on golf tournaments.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I know we're getting ripped off.
Because, like, I look at the top of the Masters board, and I'm like, how is it possible to have that many guys who are 25 or better?
Yeah, we're getting...
They'd have to account for 95% of the win equity.
Yeah, we're getting screwed, for sure.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
For sure. But we don't want to talk about that. Let's try to talk about happy things, like cashing tickets.
Hey, you only get screwed if you lose.
So, I kicked Hovland off my betting card because of budgetary concerns. Because I just love Sam Burns and Cam Young here, and they're both inside of 30-1. So the next closest guy, and this is where you're going to get mad.
I'm already mad.
Keegan Bradley, 55-1.
Oh, of course. Hometown hero, because apparently his hometown is everywhere he's playing golf that week.
2008 St. John's graduate, though, just like your boy, Jeff Clark. He went T10 last year at the Arnold Palmer, T11 the year before that, T10 the year before that. His highest finishes are second and third. He's played this event in 12 straight years, has made the cut 11 times. He is 13th on my model and probably like close to 20th by the odds. He's gained at least 4.5 strokes tee to green in his last 4 starts here. He's putted his ass off in this tournament the last 2 years. His putting has improved. He got a T2 at the Sony Open, really should have won it, but lost in a playoff. And he's playing pretty good golf this year. He coming off a miscut at the Genesis, so getting him at a buy low price, I guess, even though this is kind of expensive for Bradley. Supposedly, Bay Hill is like one of the most predictive courses on tour, and he's always plays pretty well here. So I'm going to go with Keegan. Also, part of it is, like, I haven't bet him in a while, and I just kind of want to, like, switch up things a little bit. I have my final guy on my card is a guy that I've already bet this year. So that's my third guy on my list. Do you have anyone else?
With Wyndham Clark being the fourth?
Yep.
Okay. It's interesting though, right? Like every winner this year has been like 100-1 long shot, and yet you refuse to come on and give us some dart throws.
The one dart throw that I like would be Taylor Moore. He won at Enosbrook last year, which is obviously a Florida course. He's 150-1. He's actually 28th in my model, 10th in ball speed, 2nd in putting on Bermuda. Has frankly sucked this year, but he's made the cut in his last 5 starts.
What's your model say about my long shot, Steven Yeager?
He is 35th on my model. 16th in ball speed, 29th off the tee, 35th in approach in this field, which is like, what, 70 players deep. So middle of the pack, but 80-1? I don't know. I'd prefer Taylor Moore because Taylor Moore is actually
I'm seeing him. Well, I have him at 90-1.
Okay.
But anyway, Yeager's one of those guys who, like, everyone says is going to win eventually.
So here's what I'll say about Yeager. He can contend the same way Wyndham Clark can contend. Both of them are nasty in par fives. And, like, Tiger Woods' whole thing here is just, like, you just save par at all the holes and score in the par fives. And he can score in par fives. So following that strategy, Steven Yeager can get in the mix.
Actually, I don't know if this counts as a dart throw, but I'm also on the French asshole, Matthew Pavon. Matthew Pavon! Because I'm just tired of seeing his name at the top of leaderboards, because it seems like he's there every week at this point. He's just playing, like, for a guy who's playing as well as he is, the fact that he's 80-1 seems, like, unconscionable to me. I understand that he's played well in, like, lesser field events, but he should still be ahead of some of the guys that he's behind, like Adam Hadwin. Who I like Adam Hadwin, but, like, you're telling me Hadwin has more win equity than Pavon?
Absolutely not. No, I like
don't think
Pavon.
So.
He's 12th on my model. He has picked up at least 2.7 strokes
Kim?
Putting.
Like, I'm taking Pavon over Siwoo Kim right now.
Is that a head-to-head?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, are you just saying? Okay.
Well, they're close in odds. I mean, I'm picking guys who are ahead of him in odds, like, and that I'm surprised by.
Yeah, I mean, you got the whole recent form thing.
I did like how you perked up though. I'm like, is that an option?
Yeah, I was.
Can we bet that?
Oh yeah, I would love Pavon over Siwoo Kim.
Let me see who DraftKings says this is. I don't even know if I can. Is there not one for him?
On DraftKings?
Yeah, I don't might see not one be. For him. That's annoying. Get more options, DraftKings. Would you? Is that enough of this?
He's not.
I should be able to bet whatever
MGM
I want
either.
They should allow you to pick any two golfers and then just use, like, sort of, like, there should be an easy algorithm here for, like, their top 20, their top 10, their win, whatever. Like, and it should just spit out a number. Here's what these guys are versus each other.
Yeah, I don't hate that.
I don't get why there isn't.
Maybe it's just hard for them to build.
I think, I would assume some of it is because they try to match guys who specifically play to, like, play in the same wave.
Yeah.
In the first 2 days. But other than that, like, I don't know. But also, who cares?
Fair enough.
Thank you.
I like Pavon here. The only thing is his driving accuracy is concerning, but fifth in strokes gained approach over the last 20 rounds, fourth in putting on Bermuda. I mean, this guy hasn't played a bad tournament this year. And he's won at the Farmers, which... Yeah, he's inaccurate off the tee, but like Torrey Pines is one of the toughest places to drive at. So if you can do well there, you might be able to do well really anywhere with the driver. And I mean, he was T28 last week at the Cognizant. Very respectable finish, despite, you know, coming off of a first at Farmers and third at Pebble Beach.
And he was in it too, by the way. He was another one who was kind of affected by like the weather throwing everything off. That's the only thing I worry about with guys who played this past week. Like, you know, I'd love to get back in on Shane Lowry. Like, he played really well and kind of got, but I don't know. Like, that's why I can't get on board with like Ekro. Not that I would bet Ekro, because I mean, the odds of Austin Ekro winning back to back tournaments is nuts. But I don't know. I think the guys that had to get up and play Monday morning, I feel like they're at a little bit of a disadvantage.
If you followed me throughout the years, you know I'm a South Dakota girl at heart who grew up in a ranching family. And I know that America First isn't just a political movement, it's a kitchen table issue, quite literally. I always support American family-owned companies, ranchers, and farmers who put high-quality meat products on the tables of their fellow Americans, and my friends at Omaha Steaks are the experts. With Father's Day right around the corner, what better to give dad than the experience of world-class Omaha Steaks with the deluxe Father's Day gift for just $89.99. This package includes a mouth-watering assortment of dad's grilling favorites like Omaha Steaks Butcher's Cut Top Sirloins, juicy boneless pork chops, deli-style gourmet jumbo franks, and their legendary Omaha Steaks burgers. Go to omahasteaks.com and use promo code OUTKICK at checkout to order the deluxe Father's Day gift and get 4 additional burgers absolutely free. That's 24 unforgettable entrees for just $89.99 when you use promo code OUTKICK at checkout. Get quality steaks for the fathers in your life. Go to omahasteaks.com and use code OUTKICK and get the deluxe Father's Day gift plus 4 free burgers today.
Here.
Well, I'm actually going with one of those guys, I think. My only outright winner this year, Nap Daddy, Nap time, baby. This guy struggled in the final round of the Mexico Open. It looked like it was slipping. And then his absolute smoke show of a girlfriend showed up. And this guy's been balling ever since. He went toe to toe with Rory last week. They were in the same group. I think Scheffler was also in that group, right? No, wait. Scheffler didn't play last week. Who was not
in that tournament.
Who am I thinking of? Doesn't matter. Rory and Jake Knapp.
Who else was in that group?
Yeah. Someone big. Chris Kirk.
Wasn't it Cam Young?
I think so. Anyways.
It might have been Cam Young.
Jake Knapp punishing the ball. Like, he might be the longest guy in the field. And that's saying a lot with Oberg and Scheffler. He's second in ball speed. He's third in strokes gained approach over the last 20 rounds, first in 150 to 250. There's really no approach shot that he can't get to the green in.
You were right, Chris Kirk.
Third in greens in regulation from 200 yards out, second or 12th in scrambling, fourth in three-putt avoidance. And here's my favorite thing about him, and which I think could play really well to his performance at Bay Hill. He might like bail out and just like aim for the sand to stay away from the water. And this guy is like one of the best sand players on the PGA Tour right now. Like, I'm pretty sure he's top five in sand saves. That was like a big reason why I took him at the Mexico Open. It's like, this guy is a lock to get up and down out of the sand. Hometown kid for me too. Lives out in Costa Mesa. I don't know. It's like, I got him at 66 to one. He's as low as 45 to one. It's like one of those things where it's like, really, this guy is going to win an elevated event and what, his sixth start? Yeah, it sounds ridiculous, but I don't know. You've watched him play a little bit, right? Like, that motherfucker crushes the ball.
He does.
I know.
And he doesn't seem to have any fear at all.
No.
He looks like he belongs. He came out of kind of nowhere. Literally, like, 3 weeks ago, you were like, I'm betting, should we do a pod this week? I'm betting Jake Knapp. And I was like, no, because I don't know who that is.
Yeah. And I won, but didn't give it out to you guys. Well, I did if you're readers of Outkick.com, which I'm assuming you are, because why the hell else would you be listening to this podcast? So that makes up my card. I'm also...
I'm toying, like, do I get in on Ricky? Like, this is the only time of year he seems to ever play well. He loves the Florida courses. He does well. He played well last week, but I don't think he played well enough to be... No, I don't think he was one of the guys who had to wait and play Monday, which was great.
So you want to hear where he's at on my model?
No. Yes.
It's all recent, dude. That's the thing. And you know he's been bad recent. He's 66 out of 69 players. It's over 20 rounds, but... And he's only missed two cuts over the last five starts.
Yeah, his odds are probably a little too short for how his form.
110 to 1? I mean, that's a number that it's like, okay, like that... You're not getting price gouged on that one. Like, okay,
no,
fair enough.
Absolutely not. But if you have him as the third worst player in the field, he's not anywhere near that in terms of odds.
No.
I mean, you got, is David Ford on your model? Looks like he's 800 to 1 if you want a real long shot.
He's not. I mean, he's down at the bottom, but there's no stats.
I can actually get Ricky Fowler on FanDuel at 120 to 1. If you think I'm not laying 10 bucks on Ricky Fowler at 121 to 1, then you don't know me at all.
I mean, I'm sprinkling on Taylor Moore, so I'm with you there.
You know what, man? Like, honestly, with the way things have been going this year, like, doesn't it feel like just... I mean, Brian Harman is 200 to 1?
Yeah, dude.
He won the Open by four shots.
I know.
And this is a small field event.
It's got
a bit of
a coastal vibe. You got the winds.
By the way, if you always talk about line shopping and how important it is, if you like long shots, FanDuel is the place to go, because FanDuel has Fowler was a small example, but still one that works. He's 120 versus 110. who are we just? Oh, Harmon. Harmon is 200-1 at FanDuel and 150 at DraftKings. That is a massive difference in your profit.
Yeah. Hey, I will say Harmon missed the cut last year at the Arnold Palmer. He shot a plus 13. The two starts that
was
before that.
Right, but that was before he started, like, turned into the Brian Harmon, like, who finished out the year. That had to be right before he went off, right?
Probably. I mean, did he go off or did he win the Open? I guess
Bro,
he made
he made the Ryder Cup team. Like, he didn't make
because
the Ryder
he
Cup
won the Open.
Not because of one tournament. They don't pick a Ryder
Pretty
Cup.
Much. Yeah.
No.
That's how I understood. Like, that's why him, like, once him and Wyndham Clark won their majors, it's like, oh, well, they got to be picked for the Ryder Cup. That, to me, was, like, part of the controversy because they passed over other people. And it was like, well, I guess Wyndham Clark had a much better argument for it. But T2 at the Travelers last year, T9 at Rocket Mortgage.
T5. Look at this run he had. Travelers, T2, Rocket Mortgage, T9, Scottish Open, T12, Open, win, BMW, T5. Like, he had... Are you kidding me? Yeah, he had a run. What the hell? Get out of here.
Yeah, no, I stand corrected. My
apologies. He was playing incredible golf, but he struggled at the beginning of the year. I mean, holy crap. He was getting cut every other week. It looks like something happened.
Did he leave Florida? Is that what happened? Actually, no, he got a T5 at Valspar. Yeah.
He got cut at the Masters. He got cut at the Wells Fargo. He got cut at the PGA. He got cut at the Memorial. It was actually that he finished T43 in the U.S. Open and then went on his run where, like, the next, you know, 8 or 10 tournaments, he didn't finish outside the top 31.
Yeah, he actually did get cut at the Valspar last year. I was looking at 2022.
What tournament is this? The Arnold Palmer? Oh, yeah, 75-82. That's not good.
No.
Yeah, he didn't play really well. Yeah, he doesn't play well in Florida, it doesn't look like. Good. I'll get him a 200-1.
No, but that's a good number at least. And I'm also going Hideki top 20 plus 125. Again, this is one of the hardest places to hit the green in regulation. And Hideki, I'm sure you pay attention because he's my favorite golfer, and maybe that kind of gives you, like, that makes you look at him a little bit more than otherwise would, but, like, he's pretty much the best around the green player in the world right now. Like, he is nasty around the green. Pretty sure he picked up 4 strokes around the green at the Genesis.
Sorry, so. I'm like doing a deep dive now into Brian. I'm like doing a deep dive into a guy who's 200-1 to win this tournament. What the hell's wrong with me?
Yeah, it's just he won the Open in the last calendar year, and he's 200-1. That's your handicap right there.
Yeah, it is. You're right. He shouldn't be.
Yeah.
The open champion who...
A lot tougher than Arnold Palmer, so...
Made the Ryder Cup team should not be 200-1.
Yeah. He should not be...
Where's he at on your model?
54th.
Let's see... Like, so he's 200-1, so is Taylor Moore. You're telling me you think Taylor Moore has a better chance to win this tournament than Brian Harmon? You honestly think that? You can say that with a straight face, that you think it's a better value to bet Taylor Moore at 200-1 than it is to bet Brian Harmon at 200-1.
I cannot say that with a straight face.
Okay, so I just want to make sure we're on the same page. Because that's where FanDuel has both of them. They're the only two golfers on the board who are 200-1.
I just do like Taylor Moore's skill set here because of the ball speed, and I'm really looking for guys who can hammer the ball.
Cam Davis, 120.
I know, yeah. Hey, I thought about Cam Davis, but I feel like his course history is pretty bad. I mean, try to confirm that. He's 26th on my model, for what it's worth, and he's first in 3-putt avoidance, but he's missed the cut in all 3 starts at the Arnold Palmer.
That's not good.
Yeah. He's got really no form to speak of. T20 at Pebble Beach, which is not a comp course, not even slightly.
Cam Davis is that guy who randomly, though, just looks like the best player in the world for, like, very short stretches of time.
Yeah, because he can hit the shit out of the ball.
Yeah, but then he'll literally go on, like, a birdie run, and birdie, like, what did he do? Like, it was, I don't remember, but I remember watching a tournament going, like, oh, I guess Cam Davis is just the best golfer in the world now.
I'll try to pull it up. Was it the Fortinet? He was minus 17.
He probably didn't even end up winning. It probably was just, didn't he win a tournament and then he came out the next week and was dominating?
He won the Rocket Mortgage in 2021. I'm pretty sure that's his only victory.
Maybe that was it. Maybe he won that, and then the very next week, in like the first round, he shot like a 29 on the front. And I was like, oh, okay, I guess Cam Davis just is now going to win every golf tournament ever. What did he do the very following week?
After the Rocket Mortgage win?
Yeah.
It was John Deere T55. Minus six, though. That's just like one of those courses you got to score at.
Okay. All right. This not Cam Davis then. All right. What is your, just run down your model then. What are the biggest discrepancies we've got? Scheffler won.
Biggest discrepancies. What do you mean? You want me just to list you my top 10?
No, but let's try to figure out. So you have Scheffler at one?
Yep.
Okay. So we know you have Rory at 10. So yep. Rory is the second odd. So obviously the guy at two in your model has to be a decent value.
Xander. I just can't bet.
Okay. And then Hovland?
Hovland is sixth, so he's then, right around where he should be.
Then we've got some value here. Go ahead. Who's third?
Third in my model?
Yeah.
Sam Burns.
Okay. That makes sense to me then.
Cam Young's five. Jake Knapp is four.
No, he's not.
Yeah, dude.
But, dude, you need to throw that model in the garbage.
No, dude, it's 20 rounds. I'm looking at just the most recent sample size. I'm telling you up front. I mean, like, if I were to stretch it out, I'm getting Jake Knapp in fucking Q school. Which, does that matter? I don't think it does.
I think it does.
Why? I mean, if he plays like he does at Q school, then I am screwed. I will not be winning money on him. Yeah, like the other, like he has, yeah, doesn't have a lot of, like he missed the cut at the RBC Canadian. And those, like his only other start on tour.
All right. So recapping for me,
You know who's a good one? Hold on.
Go ahead.
Please. Defending champion Kurt Kitayama is seventh on my model and he's 70-1. He's playing pretty good golf and won here last year. Despite, I looked at this, he triple bogeyed in the final round and still won. You remember that?
I do. And actually, he's actually 80-1 at FanDuel.
No shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, T8 at the Phoenix Open. Hasn't missed a cut really this year. He's gaining strokes, tee to green. Approach play has been good. I don't think he's going to go back-to-back, but, I mean, there's been so many crazy results this year. Who knows?
The only thing I would... This is the limited field no cut event, right? So
no, top 50 with ties.
Right, but it's a limited field.
Yep.
Because they're going off in twosomes, which is obviously means it can't be a full field event.
Mm-hmm.
But is there a wave discrepancy?
Well, the forecast is clear weather conditions for Thursday and Friday. So I would say no.
Affect at all.
I don't think so. But either way, I kind of, my betting card is proof for that because I got guys that can hammer it, right? And who are going to cut through the wind. Right. So,
yep.
And even Keegan, who's the weakest ball striker on my card, is actually good in the wind.
I hate him. I hope he finishes last.
Fair enough. Other discrepancies in my model.
I got
Cantley 25th in my model. He's got the fourth best odds.
I don't feel like he's done anything lately.
I mean, if you want to bet him first round leader, he probably could do that.
He won't, though. He doesn't even do that.
He plays really well in the first. I mean, Genesis, he's what, 54 hole leader?
Yeah, and then blew it. I'm off Cantley, dude. I used to like him, and now I'm like off him.
Tommy,
I'm kind of off Xander too, if I'm being honest. Both of them annoy me.
Yeah, yeah. I've been burned by Xander too often. That's why. I mean, he always does well in my model. I just can't get there. Fleetwood.
All right, so I'm Fleetwood
29th in my model.
Just doesn't win.
No, I think I can get him head-to-head versus Morikawa. Oh, wait, no. I can't.
I hate the price that you always have to pay for Jordan Spieth, because I do like Jordan Spieth. I love watching him play golf. I think he's really good. But, like, you just never get a decent price. Like, I just cannot. Again, we talk about, like, I'd much rather have Sam Burns and Zalatoris, who are longer shots. I'd probably rather have Cam Young, honestly, even though I don't think he's going to win. But you want to talk about win equity. Jordan Spieth certainly knows how to win golf tournaments.
Yeah, Spieth is really good on my model. He's eighth, and he's got about the eighth best odds. So it's like, all right, whatever. Can't do anything there.
I might bet him.
I don't hate it. Because it's like...
I also have to come up with my three picks. We haven't talked about this at all. How'd you do last week in the pool, the pick three? What'd you go with?
Fucking terrible, dude. Tied for 66.
Yeah.
Just terrible.
I mean, if you're going to suck, you want to suck in the events that don't matter as much. And sure. This was. And also, the winner of the tournament, literally no one had. So that money was gone. So even the people who finished at the top didn't really, you know, really separate themselves. I'm pissed again because I had Lowry. And there was a time, and I did go with the McIlroy strategy, and it totally backfired because I got like $83,000 out of Rory McIlroy, which is not a good usage of Rory McIlroy. No. And then I also did use one long shot, which was Lucas Glover, who wasn't terrible. He didn't really do much.
I had Russell Henley, who I think finished like T35, something like that.
Yeah, he played bad on like Sunday because he had a great third round and got in it.
Yeah. Yeah, and minus six in the round.
Nothing
round
on Sunday.
Tom Hoge, who I think finished T29, but just kind of the uninspired performance. And I had Daniel Berger as an outright. And in my three-man lineup, he was like, I think, fifth tee to green and just put himself out of the tournament.
Yeah.
So that was a bummer. And I even like sprinkled a little bit on him after round one because like, I think he was first in tee to green round one and just couldn't putt. And I was like, I'll probably turn it around. Then I forgot how fucking cursed I am and there was no chance of him ever turning it around.
Sorry, you're only $1 million behind after week one. You're fine. A lot of game left.
So my three and done, I'm not screwing around. I'm going Scheffler. Scheffler is my pick in the one and done Mayo Cup as well. He won 2 years ago, second last year.
But you're not going to bet him.
I'm not, because the price is just, it's fair. He is the best player in the field, but it's just, if I'm going to bet him at 6.5 to 1, I'm not betting anyone else. Like, I'm betting him to win the matchups. I'm betting him top five, probably pay the tax for top 10, and then whatever I have to in 6.5 to 1. It's just like, I don't like betting that way, to be honest, just the single bullet. I'm thinking about Hovland at the Masters, if he can turn his form around. This is kind of the prove-it spot because he plays well here. And if, like, he can bounce back here, it's like, okay, cool. Hovland's going into the Masters is someone I'm into. So I'm going my three and done. I'm going Burns. I'm going Cam Young. And I'm going Scheffler. I mean, it's a $20 million prize pool for $4 million for the first. I think that's the same for the Masters, players, whatever. I need money. Scheffler's going to be top 10. Like, he's going to be, right? Right? Right, Scheffler? Like, I'm not even counting on him to putt well.
You know, I'm kind of with you. I think it almost makes sense to use Scheffler in a non-major when the live guys are there.
That's a good take.
And there's less of a chance that he's going to win when you add Rahm and Brooks and even like a Neiman and a Cam Smith to the field than he is without those guys in the field.
Yeah.
So in these signature events, with the way the money works, I think that makes a lot of sense. I'm not going to use him this week, but I think I just talked myself into using him in the next signature event, but I don't want to bump draft off you. But I think I'm going to go Spieth, Zalatoris, and Burns.
So you're going to use him at the Players, you're thinking, where he's reigning champion?
Yeah, probably.
I might do that too, actually. I might just get all the Scheffler out of the way before May. Like, I'll use you at the
Masters. And then you don't have to think about it. You don't ever have to consider him again. No, I guess that's it. We're done. I used McIlroy, Lowry, and Glover last week, and I finished. I did okay.
Top 10,
I was
right?
Like, no, the The finish by Lowry and the finish by McIlroy really kind of screwed me.
A lot of people had Minwoo Lee, who I like.
Yeah, that too. And Minwoo Lee having a turning it around was not helpful for me.
I didn't want to tell you this because I knew you were rooting against him, but I snuck in a couple live bets on Minwoo Lee in the third round.
Oh, I did too.
He almost. Oh, okay. I should have told you then. He had a chance
because it was gonna piss me off. Like I looked at it. So this was with Lowry in the lead. I was like, what result would piss me off the most? And it was easy. It was Minwoo Lee winning because I had Lowry in the pool, and Minwoo Lee was so popular that I was like, if he wins, I'm going to be annoyed. So I'm betting him.
Interesting. I like.
Because then I was like, then I won't be annoyed.
Yeah, fair enough. He gave us a little bit of a ball tickle there in that back nine in the Monday morning.
Yeah, he did.
And I can't
everyone
even.
Everyone was undone by like one bad hole, except Ekrode. Like literally, that's what Ekrode avoided in that tournament was having. Like Minwoo Lee had a double, so did Lowry in the back nine. Like Lowry was still like kind of around and hanging around, and then he hit two balls in the water in the back nine.
Yeah.
All right, I don't want to talk about Shane Lowry anymore.
All right, so wrapping this one up, my betting card: Sam Burns 25-1, Cam Young 28-1, Keegan 55-1, Wyndham 60-1, Jake Knapp 66-1. It is a real prove it tournament for me for Wyndham Clark because this guy just chokes every time I bet him.
I'm with you on Sam Burns. I'm also going to back Will Zalatoris at 30-1. And then I think I'm going to just play that long range depending on where I can get him. But Pavon at 80 or 90, depending on your book I like. I'm definitely going to throw a little bit of money on Ricky Fowler because I cannot have, like, just I just have FOMO with Ricky Fowler. I'm going to throw a tiny little sprinkle on Brian Harman. Like, I'm gonna hit some of those lower guys, man, because every week one of these guys wins. So I might even hit Nick Taylor at 150. I don't know yet. I don't know if we'll have enough time.
All right, next week.
Oh, and Jaeger, sorry.
Next week, baby, the Players Championship Tuesday. Be ready.
I'll be ready,
Dan Z. All right. Peace out, homies. Follow Danzy at The Real Dan Zach. Leave us some love on, show us some love on Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, wherever you can leave reviews. It'd be great. Tell your golf gambling homies that we at least put in the work and try to give you some intel. And either way, just have fun.
This is going to be a good week. Sam Burns winning this tournament, buddy. Yep. We're both cashing. It's going to be a great week.
Podcast play, Sam Burns. Until next week. Peace.